ברשות מוריי ורבותיי, ברשות, with the permission of Hashem, today we are Erev Shabbos, Parashat Miketz, and as well it's Parashat of the Chanukah. And there is in the Gemara Ta'anit, there they said, why we do 8 days in Chanukah? And the Gemara said, the Chanukah that the inauguration that Moshe Rabbeinu did in the desert, it was only 7 days. And why the Chanukah that the inauguration that Shlomo HaMelech did when he built the Beit HaMikdash was only 7 days? So why the Chashmonaim, they did 8 days? Okay? Why did it 8 days? Because when the Greek, they were in Israel, the Greek, the profaned, you know, the impure all the Beit HaMikdash. So once the Hashmonaim, they threw away the Greek from Yerushalayim, so they started to clean the Beit HaMikdash, they started to build the Mizbeach, they did, you know, they repair all the damages that it was in the Beit HaMikdash. And that took them 8 days. And because it took them 8 days, so that's why the inauguration of the Beit HaMikdash took them 8 days. But the Mishkan that the Moshe Rabbeinu built in the desert, that took them only 7 days because it needed only seven days, but the Chanukah of Shlomo HaMelech, it needed 8 days. This is the reason why the Chanukah, the inauguration of the Mishkan and the desert, and the inauguration of the Beit HaMikdash that built Shlomo HaMelech, it took only 7 days. But the Chanukah, the inauguration of the Beit HaMikdash that the Chashmonaim did, it took them 8 days. So now, I was looking to, there is a big rabbi, the Rosh Yeshiva of Gateshead, Rav Moshe Shvob, Alav Shalom. He asked a good question. I would like you to know if you have an answer for that question. Why it took them 8 days? If really they wanted, it could take them only 7 days. I mean, why the Chashmonaim took them 8 days? I mean, it could take more people to work to clean up the Beit HaMikdash. It could take them 7 days or 6 days. Okay, 7 days as a sample. But why 8 days? Do you have an answer? So, I was thinking that the Chashmonaim, if it took them 8 days to build up, to clean up the Beit HaMikdash, because the Chashmonaim, they saw, you know, as you know, that as the Maharal Miprak said, that there is a difference between the number of seven and the number of eight. The number of seven, it's something natural, but the number of eight, it's above natural, it's me'al ha-teva. Eight, it's a mispa, it's a number that it's olam haba. It's Olam Haba. This number of eight, it's behind, you know, the numbers. Because today we have only six days a week and Shabbos. Always there is a, when to Hashem, it took him 6 days to build the world, to create the world, and the 7 days Hashem rested. So the number eight, there is no number eight. And number eight is Olam Haba. Okay? So, now I understand why it took them 8 days. Not because they did not have chance to do it less than 8 days. Of course, if they wanted, they could. They could do it in 6 days or 5 days to clean up the Beit HaMikdash. But they did it on purpose. Why did they do it on purpose? Because the Chashmonaim, when they saw that all what happened to them, the war, that, you know, only 12 children, 12 Chashmonaim, 12 children, they fight the Goyim, you know, it's unbelievable, 12 children, they fight thousands of Greek, and they warned them. I mean, can you imagine? This is Me'al HaTeva. This is something that you cannot understand. You cannot believe. That was a big, big, big miracle what happened to them. And that's why they wanted to show the Bnei Israel that all what happened to the Jews at the time of when the Greek they came to Israel, you should know one thing. When the Greek came to Israel, they did not kill them. They did not destroy the Beit HaMikdash. They did not throw the Jews out of Israel. No, they wanted just to assimilate them. They wanted that the Jews not respect Shabbos, no Brit Mila, not to do Rosh Chodesh, not to eat kosher, not to keep Tarat HaMishpacha. As the Gemara said, every girl that she wanted to get married, you know, she was raped by a hegemon, by a Greek man. Can you imagine that? They wanted to take off the imuna out of the mind of the Jews. They didn't want to kill them. They just wanted them to be as them. That was, a big tsara, a big tsaros, you know, for the Jews. You know, they did not know what to do. And after HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he gave the koach to the Hashmonaim to fight the Greek back and to throw them from Israel. Only few Jews against millions of Greek. That was a big, 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 bigness. And that's why the Hashmonaim, when they started to repair the Beit HaMikdash, when they started to build the Mizbeah, when they started to repair all the Kli Shari, the Kli Kodesh of the Beit HaMikdash, it took them 8 days. 8 days. Why 8? 8 is Shemona. Shemona is Neshama. They wanted to bring the Neshama, the Kiddusha, on everything that they did. You have to know one thing. When you do a mitzvah, you listen to me, when you do a mitzvah, and the mitzvah, there is a neshama in the mitzvah. It's like a man. A man with no soul, he cannot live. You need a body with the soul. Once the soul get off from the body, the man die. You have to know that the neshama, even the mitzvah, when you do a mitzvah, you have the mitzvah in your hand, the goof of the mitzvah, and you have the neshama of the mitzvah. You have the neshama, there is a soul. I mean, when you do a mitzvah, the way you do it, when you wake up in the morning to go to shul, if you wake up in the morning, you know, half asleep, so, okay, you go to shul, you pray, but your tefillah, it's not 100% a good tefillah, because there is no life in the tefillah. You have to put the life in the tefillah. You have to put the neshama in the tefillah. Every mitzvah that you do, it's like you do tzedakah, you give tzedakah to somebody. There is a poor man who passed away, you give him a dollar, and you throw the dollar. Okay, you give a tzedakah, but you throw the dollar. You did not put a neshama on the dollar, on the mitzvah that tzedakah that you did. So it's a mitzvah without neshama. So all what you need to do is, when you do a mitzvah, you have to put the neshama on the mitzvah. You have to put, you know, misirut nefesh, kohot in the mitzvah, the way you do it with love. I mean, if you see your son, when you kiss your son, because you did not see him all day, I mean, when you kiss him, you feel it's your son, yes or not? You feel it's your baby, it's your son. When you kiss him, it's like you kiss a piece of paper. No, a piece of paper, there is no feeling. But when you kiss your son, there is a feeling, there is something. You put a neshama in the kiss. You put something, I mean, there is a feeling, there is something. I mean, otherwise it's like it's impossible that a father he kiss his son without the feeling. It's impossible. I mean, can you imagine if you buy perfume? Can you imagine if in the perfume there is no smell? So it's not a perfume, yes or not? Oh, yes or no? I mean, in the perfume there is a. If you buy a perfume, I mean, you expect a smell in the perfume. When you do a mitzvah, you must feel the mitzvah. You must smell the mitzvah. You have to put life on the mitzvah. When you put life in the mitzvah, so the mitzvah, you feel it. Now you understand. The Jews, when the Greek, they were in Israel, the Jews, they lost Torah. They lost the feeling of the mitzvot. They lost the feeling of the Torah. They lost the feeling of everything. I mean, that's it. You know, they were like assimilated. So when the Hashmonaim, when they fight the Greek and they throw the Greek out of Israel, and the Hashmonaim start, the first thing they did, they started to clean the Beit HaMikdash. What is a Beit HaMikdash? Beit HaMikdash is the symbol of the man. Yeah, Mikdash, a man is a Mikdash Me'at. I mean, what it is a Beit HaMikdash? A real Beit HaMikdash is a man. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't need a house. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what he needs is, he needs you. He needs you, David, you. He needs you that you can serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, as a good Jew. With Misirut Nefesh, with sacrifice, you know, with love, with feeling, with happiness. That's what Hashem needs from you. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't need. When you sleep, he wake you up. He give you money. He give you a wife. He give you children. He give you health. He give you everything. He give you oxygen. He give you a hand that you can move them. He give you foot that you can walk. You can hear. You can see. You can smell. You can feel. So all this came from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So you have to give back something to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. With the kohot that HaKadosh Baruch Hu give you, through this kohot, you have to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You understand me? Through this kohot. I mean, HaKadosh Baruch Hu give you kohot. HaKadosh Baruch Hu give you koach. So why this koach? You use it for holidays. You use it for bad things, and you don't use it for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I mean, you don't understand. I mean, it's not normal. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu give you koach. Hanuten leyev koach. HaKadosh Baruch Hu give you koach to live. So through this koach, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't ask you to create something that you don't have. No. He asks from you, just do serve me with the kohot I give you to serve me. Just serve me with what I give you. Why with the kohot I give you, you use it for something else and you don't use it for me? Why? This is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu blames sometimes the man. Why he can show, HaKadosh Baruch Hu show the man after 120 years, look what you did for the kohot I give you and you did nothing for me. So, I mean, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can tell you, hey, I give you neshama, I give you kohot. So why did not put this kohot for me? Why did not put a neshama with the kohot I give you and the mitzvot that I give you to do? Why did this mitzvot just like that? So now, when the Hashmonaim, when they beat the Greek, and they came to the first thing they did, they started to clean the Beit HaMikdash. Because the Beit HaMikdash is the symbol of the man. And it took them 8 days. Why it took them 8 days? Because 8 is Shemona. Shemona is Neshama, okay? Shemona is the same letter of Neshama. The Hashmonaim, they wanted to show the Jews that you have to put a Neshama on all what you do. You do a mitzvah, don't do it half asleep. You do a mitzvah, do it with smiling, with happiness. Not off. I have to do it again. Off. Another mitzvah I have to do. Oh, another Shabbos. Oh, I have to close Shabbat. I have to close my shop on Shabbat. I'm gonna lose money. Oh, hey. If you put neshama on the mitzvah, you will feel the mitzvah. And because the Jews, they lost the feeling of the mitzvot during the time that the Greek were in Israel, so the Hashmonaim, they have to put back again. They show the Jews through the 8 days that they were working and to clean the Beit HaMikdash. They wanted to show them now you have to feel the neshama, you feel the mitzvah, to put a neshama, the mitzvah, you have to clean yourself up. Then that's what they did, the Hashmonaim. They clean, you know, the neshamat, symbolic, that a man should clean himself, that he can feel after the neshama. When he do a mitzvah, he can put the neshama on the mitzvah. He can put, you know, the koach on the mitzvah. That's why it took them 8 days. It's just symbolic. The 8 days that it took them, the Hashmonaim, to clean up the Beit HaMikdash, it was symbolic. They could clean it on 6-7 days. But it did it on purpose. It took them 8 days to show the Bnei Israel that if you want to have feeling when you do a mitzvah, you have to put the neshama on the mitzvah. If you don't put the neshama on the mitzvah, you will not feel the mitzvah. Okay? You will not fear the mitzvah. That was the lesson that the Chashmonaim wanted to show the Bnei Yisrael. Now we understand something incredible. You know what? The Gemara said that if in the Beit HaMikdash you don't have pure oil and you have only impure oil, you are allowed to light the menorah with the impure oil. Okay? Yeah, b'di avad. So now there is a big question. When the Chashmonaim came to the Beit HaMikdash, they did not find a pure oil. They only find the impure. So the question is, why they had to look for the pure oil? Why did not light with the impure oil till they make the pure oil? B'di'avad, they can do it. Why they did not do it? This is the question that a lot of Rabbanim ask. Why they did not do it? So again, now we know there is a mitzvah. We know there is a mitzvah to light the menorah with a pure oil. But if you don't have the pure oil, b'di'avad, you can light the candle with the impure oil. The question is, why they did not light the menorah with the impure oil? Why did they not do it? Now, I would like just to tell you something. You know, according to all what I told you up to now, I told you that the Chashmonaim, all the purpose was, they wanted to show the Jews that HaKadosh Baruch Hu fight for them. HaKadosh Baruch Hu helped them. HaKadosh Baruch Hu did a lot of miracles for them. And as I told you before, that when there is a miracle, the miracle came from the Shamayim. It's incredible that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what he did for the Jews at this time of when the Greek they were fighting the Bnei Israel. And that's why the Chashmonaim, when they understood that the nest that happened to them came from the Shamayim, yes or not? And from the Shamayim, it was HaKadosh Baruch Hu who helped them to beat the Greek, to throw the Greek out of Israel. So the Chashmonaim, the first thing they did, they started to clean. Please, you listen to me, yes? They started to clean the Beit HaMikdash. What I told you before. The Beit HaMikdash is symbol of what? It's connected to the man. It's a symbol of the man. Now, can you imagine that in one hand, and it took them, how long it took them to clean the Beit HaMikdash? 8 days. And why 8 days? 8 days because 8 days it's Neshama, yes? Shemona is Neshama. Can you imagine that on one hand, the Chashmonaim, they will clean the Beit HaMikdash, that symbolic of the body, to show the Jews that to feel, because they lost the feeling of the mitzvot, that to feel the mitzvah they have to put a neshama. Can you imagine, on one hand, the Chashmonaim symbol, the cleaning, to clean the Beit HaMikdash, 8 days, and the other hand, they will put the impure oil to light the Beit HaMikdash. It's like somebody who wants to go to the mikveh, like a woman that she wants to go to the mikveh and she did not count 7 days. Would she be Kodesh? Would she be pure or not? She will not be pure. How can you imagine the Chashmonaim? On one hand, they're doing a purification on the Beit HaMikdash. On the other hand, they will light the candles with an impure oil. Huh? Yeah. Now, Hashemen Ha-Shemen, it's oil. Ha-Shemen is the same letters of Neshama. Ha-Shemen, it's the same letters of Shemona. So can you imagine? On one hand, of course, if you don't have, of course, there is a big question. The halacha is, for the tzibur, you can light the candles with the impure oil. It is the avad. But at the time of the Chashmonaim, it was everything was symbolic. So if everything was symbolic, you need only pure. You couldn't use something that's impure. Even that the halacha, it's b'di'avad, you can light with impure olive. But because of that time, the situation of that, the matzav of that time, the situation of that time, that it was a fight between the darkness and the light. It was a fight between Yavan and Am Yisrael. So it was not possible that it's only possible to get out of the impure things. You cannot use impure. I mean, if you use something impure, that the Ivanim, if you use that the Ivanim, you know, the because if the Chashmoni will they will use the oil that the Ivanim impure, it's like and somehow they will leave something, you know, of Yavan and the Beit HaMikdash. You understand me? It's not possible. I mean, now we have to lose. We have to take out off memories of Yavan. We have to throw everything that belongs to Yavan. Everything that the Greek touched it, we don't need it. We have to throw it away. So the Chashmonaim, they couldn't use this oil, this impure oil that the Ivanim touched. It's impossible. It's impossible. I mean, it's a contradiction of the ideology of the Chashmonaim. Because all what the Chashmonaim want to do now is to get out from the ideas, to take out the ideas of Yavan. I mean, we don't live anymore with the Yavan, the ideas of Yavan. So they have to clean up everything. They have to clean up. It took them 8 days to clean up the Beit HaMikdash. The Beit HaMikdash is the symbol of the man. I mean, the Chashmonaim wanted to teach the man, if you want to have a body, a kosher body, you have to clean yourself. So that way it took them 8 days, because eight, it's Shemona. Shemona, it's Neshama. The Bnei Israel wanted to the Chashmonaim wanted to show the Bnei Israel, if you lost the feeling of the mitzvot, because you don't put neshama on the mitzvah. Now you have to put neshama on the mitzvah. Now you have to put neshama. So how can you put a neshama on the mitzvah when you light the candles that the oil is not kosher? You understand me? Huh? So now we understand. Now this is the reason why the Chashmonaim, they did not use this shemen, impure shemen, even b'di'avad. Even b'di'avad, they did not use it. Even b'di'avad, they did not use it. They said, well, if we don't have oil to light the candles, we will not light the candles. We will purify the Beit HaMikdash. That we don't take chance. So we will purify the Beit HaMikdash till we have the oil, kosher oil. And it took them 8 days. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when Hashem saw this Misirut Nefesh of the Chashmonaim, that all their kavona, all their ideas, all their purpose, intention, all the intention, it was Kadosh, just to purify the Jews. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu did a miracle. If you want that Hashem to do a miracle with you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will not do it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu can do a miracle with you only when he see a good intention. When he see that your intention is Kodesh. When he see that really you are 100% Kodesh. You are 100%, your intention is to be close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu can help you, can do a nice for you. But if HaKadosh Baruch Hu don't see that what you do is with a good attention, why should Hashem do a nice America with you? You understand? Why? You don't need. You don't need. Now, my friend, I would like just to tell you this. It's very important that I tell you this. I would now we understand why it took them 8 days to clean up the Beit HaMikdash. It's symbolic to teach the Jews that they need to have a pure neshama. That's why they did not light the candles with impure oil, because they wanted to teach them that to have a pure neshama, you must have a pure body. And if when you have a pure body, you need to put neshama when you do a mitzvah. I mean, to have a pure body and to have a pure neshama, what it is the consequences of a pure neshama and a pure body? When you do a mitzvah, you put the neshama on the mitzvah. But if you don't have a pure body, and if you are not careful to keep your neshama pure, so the mitzvah that you do, there is no mitzvah in the body. There is no neshama on the mitzvah. To put a neshama on the mitzvah, what is the meaning to put a neshama on the mitzvah? To put neshama on the mitzvah, when you do a mitzvah with enthusiasm, you do a mitzvah with happiness, you do a mitzvah, you know, with simcha, and you know, with a good willing. When you do this, that means that you have a pure body, that means that you have a pure neshama. But if you don't have a pure body, if you don't have a pure neshama, you cannot put a neshama on the mitzvah. This is, Rabotai, this is, my friend, something that we should know. And this is, Hanerot halalu kodesh hem. Ve'elanu rishot ishtamesh ben. That way in Chanukah, when you light the candle, you sit, you, the Baal HaBayit, with your wife, your children, you sit in front of Chanukah, and you light the Chanukah, and you look at Chanukah. When you look at Chanukah, what do you think about? Tell me. When you light the Chanukah and you see the light of Chanukah, you know what do we think? Of course, we think about all the battles, the wars, all the nisim that Hashem did to the Bnei Israel. But when you see the Chanukah, when you light the Chanukah, you see yourself. Because Chanukah is yourself. You say how much you have to clean yourself, how much you must light yourself with mitzvot. The nerot, it's mitzvot. Hanerot halalu kodeshem. Those nerot that you are looking at, they are mitzvot. They should light the mitzvot. When you do a mitzvah, light should come from the mitzvah. And how a light can come out from the mitzvah? When you put a neshama on the mitzvah. You see? That's why we hanerot halalu kodeshem. Those candles, this light, it's kodesh. Why? Because the neshama, it's a part of Hashem. And the neshama is kodesh, yes or not? The neshama, it's chelek eluha mimal. Because the neshama, it's a part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the neshama, it's kodesh. And nerot halalu, kodesh hem. This mitzvot, when you look at your body, at the Chanukah, who symbolic your body, you should feel, Hashem give me a body, I have to keep my body clean. And when I put my body clean, so when I do the mitzvot, I put the neshama on the mitzvah. And then when I put the neshama on the mitzvah, so I can feel the mitzvah. So that way we say, Hanerot halalu kodeshem. That means when you look at that's why we put the menorah near the mezuzah and near the door. Why near the door? Because the door is outside. You have to be careful. All the darkness is outside. When you go outside, you have to bring with you the light outside. Who can keep you outside not to be assimilated? Who can take care of you outside? Because outside, you have Yavan outside. You have the theory, the ideology of Lavan, of Yavan, up to now outside. There is a danger outside. There is all the Yitzhara outside, internet, emails, all the Yitzhara is outside. Who can protect you outside? Who? You are only you. You are yourself. So, don't forget. That's why we put the Hanukkah near the mezuzah, near the door. Why? We put the Hanukkah near the mezuzah, near the door. You know why? Because the mezuzah keep your house clean. Because when you see the mezuzah in your house, when you want to do Avera, when you see the mezuzah, so you see the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you don't do the Avera. But who's going to protect you outside? What about outside? Outside there is no mezuzah. Of course you have talit, but you don't see at the talit. So you have to take with you the light of the mitzvot, the light of Hanukkah, this or of Hanukkah that you light next to the door, next to the mezuzah. You have to bring these lights, eight lights, neshama, shemona, connect yourself with Olam Haba, because Olam Haba is shemona. If a man connect himself with Olam Haba, you know Hashem, this Olam is the symbol of 7 days a week. And Olam Haba is the symbol of eight, the number of eight. A man should put together seven and eight. Seven and eight, how much is it, seven and eight? What is this, 15? Yud K. The name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yah, Yusha'acha me'etzat ha'maraglim. Yah, the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu will protect you. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu can protect you, when you put together Olam Haba and Olam Hazeh, when you bring Olam Haba to this Olam Hazeh. But if you want to live in Olam Hazeh and you don't bring Olam Haba to Olam Hazeh, so you live 7 days a week, no Shabbat, nothing. So you have no connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When you have no connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so you are a man on your own, a man in this world. That's why this Hanukkah, there is Shmona, there is eight lights. Eight, it's a number mime'al ha'teva, a number above the nature. It's a number that it's connected to Olam Haba. And you have what? And you live in this world. This world is 7 days a week. So what you do? You connect yourself. You connect yourself with Olam Haba, with mitzvot, Torah mitzvot. When you connect yourself to Torah mitzvot, so you bring to you the Kiddushah of Olam Haba, to you, to this world. So you connect the numbers of the mitzvot, because don't forget, the Torah, the origin of the Torah, it came from Olam Haba. The origin of the Torah came from where? From the Shamayim. Of course, you have the Torah here in this world. But what it was the origin of the Torah? The origin of the Torah from where it came? From Hashem, from the Shamayim. And what it is Shamayim? It's number 8. So you see, when you read Torah, and you are in this Olam, so automatically you connect HaKadosh Olam Haba and Olam Hazeh. Understand? Because even that the Torah, it's in this world, but the Torah, his origin, it's from where? It's from Olam Haba. And beside this, you have a Neshama. Neshama, Shemona, Hashemen, you have it. So always a man, he has the ability, he has the koach to connect himself with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even this world. When? Tell me when? When you study Torah, when you do Ma'asim Tovim. But if you disconnect yourself from the Torah, so you are a 7 days man. You are a man of Olam Hazeh. You are not a man that you are entitled of Olam Haba. After 120 years, so there is no Olam Haba, because you were connected all your life in Olam Hazeh, so there is no Olam Haba. So this is the symbol of Hanukkah. That now we understand a lot of things about Hanukkah. Now I would just to tell you a little story about my grandfather. One day my grandfather, Rabbi Hipido Alav Shalom, Rabbi Hipido the first, he was giving a big, he was giving a shiur. It was Arif Shabbos, and suddenly he's a rabbi who came to the synagogue. a rabbi that nobody knows. Never this story. It's a story. It's a 160 years old story. And the rabbi that nobody knows. So he came to the rabbi and he told him, I am a rabbi. I came here for Shabbos. I came from far away, from London. My boat, it's in the port. And I would like to give a shiur. I would like to give a lecture. So the rabbi came to Rabbi Chaim Pinto, to my grandfather. He told him, we are here, a rabbi who wants to give a shiur. So Rabbi Chaim Pinto looked at him. He told him, I don't know him. How can I give to a rabbi to say shiur if I don't know him? First, if I know him, I could give him. I mean, I don't know what he's going to say. So the rabbi said, but looking at his face, he looked like a big rabbi. So Rabbi Chaim Pinto, Alav Shalom, he told him, okay, let him speak. So he spoke, he said a beautiful lecture. So the people, they told him, please come back again tomorrow. Please come back again tomorrow, give us another lecture. And we will ask for everybody to come to listen to you. So, okay, everybody went with him to the house, to the boat, because he was spending the Shabbos in the boat. And they asked, and Rabbi Chaim Pinto did not go with him. So they asked Rabbi Chaim Pinto, hey, Rabbi, what do you think about this? This rabbi? So Rabbi Chaim Pinto said, well, I have no answer for you. I'll give you the answer tomorrow. Now I have no answer. I prefer not to tell you nothing. Okay. The next day, he gave another shiur, and a fabulous shiur. And then he told them, okay, I'm going now to the boat. So they told him, please come to Mincha. He told them, well, I will think about it. So they wanted to take him to do him Levaya to the boat. And they came to Rabbi Chaim Pinto again. They asked him, well, Rabbi, what do you think about this shiur? His lecture was a fabulous lecture. Rabbi Chaim Pinto told him, well, you will be all disappointed. Now we not tell you nothing, but you will be disappointed. So they told him, Rabbi, what are you talking about? Why you will be disappointed? But he's a rabbi. He spoke so beautifully. Why do you think he will be disappointed? Rabbi Chaim Pinto did not answer them. He told them, okay, you just go. I'm waiting for you in shul. But please, Rabbi, come with us to do levaya to this rabbi. No, I will not go with you. Well, they did not. Maybe they thought that Rabbi Chaim Pinto was jealous. So they went. When they arrived to the boat, this rabbi, he started to laugh. He lit a cigarette on Shabbat, and he started to smoke the cigarette. He told them, you know, I'm not a Jew, I am a Goy, and I study the Torah in the university, and my neighbors were rabbis, and I study the Torah, and I know your Torah just like you, and your rabbi, you know the Torah. I wanted just to tell you, I'm not like you, and I am a Goy. You see, even a Goy can understand Torah. And he started to laugh at them, and he told them, well, bye-bye, go tell your rabbi. When they came to Rabbi Chaim Pinto, they saw Rabbi Chaim Pinto sitting, waiting for them. He was smiling at them. He told them, well, tell me, what happened to your rabbi? So they asked Rabbi Chaim Pinto, please, rabbi, are you a prophet? How did you know? Why didn't you tell us? Why didn't tell us that he was a goy? Why didn't tell us? He told them, look, I'm not a prophet. I'm not a Navi. What do I think I want to tell you? Every day we say the tefillah, Kiner mitzvah v'torah or, v'derech chayim torichot musar. A mitzvah, we compare a mitzvah like a candle. We compare the neshama like a candle. The same way that the candle always it's move. When you light a candle, always it's move. A Jew, when he study Torah, a Jew, when he pray, he move. When this man he was talking, I did not see him moving. When I saw that he was not moving, I understood that he did not put neshama in the Torah. And I understood that he has no neshama. So because he has no neshama, he doesn't move when he speak Torah. So and when he was praying, I didn't see him moving. I knew he was not a Jew. No, I'm talking to you and I move. Why? Because it's automatic. When you speak Torah, you move. You move. You know why you move? Why? No, tell me. When you pray, you move or not? Why? Because people are moving, so you move. Yeah, but why? Why you move? You know why? You know why? Because the neshama, when you pray, please listen to this. When you pray, your neshama, when you pray, you study the Torah, your neshama, when you start praying, your neshama, she's so excited that you pray. Because she's excited, she's moving. And when she's moving, she makes you move. It's like an earthquake. Because the land, it's moving. So when the land is moving, you move. When there is an earthquake, yes, the land is moving. Anything that is on the land, it's moving as well, is or not? Why? Because you are on top of something. It's the same. When you start praying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, your neshama, she's already close to Hashem. Your neshama, she wants to go to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so she moves. So when she moves, she makes you move. And the Torah, Torah Hashem. And the same way as the light moves. Why the light moves? Because this is something that HaKadosh Baruch Hu create. That the light, when you put the light, when you light a candle, the candle, you know, always is moving. Why is moving? Because if it doesn't move, it will be off. So the moving, that's what put him alive. What put him alive. This is, my friend, Chanukah. Chanukah, it's to have back the neshama, not to lose the neshama. Yilchu mechayil chayil. That's why, if we want to have more connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we need always to move. Mezuzah is like zuz. Mezuzah. What is zuz? Move. Mezuzah. It's gematria. 45 and zuz. Hey man, ma mezuzah. Mem, the first letter of mezuzah is mem. The last letter of mezuzah is he. He in mem is 45. 45 is gematria Adam. He Adam, zuz, mezuzah. Hey man, move. When you move, the Yetzirah cannot hold on you. How do you get in mush? In mush. You know what is in mush? What is in mush? Huh? A fly, no? Mush. In French, we say la mouche, you know, a fly. Yes, a fly. You know this, huh? Well, la mouche. You know, when you move, the fly, she wants to get hold of you. But when you move, she cannot. She cannot land on you because you move. Yes or not? The Gemara compare the Yetzirah as the mush, as the fly. How when the Yetzirah can hold on you, when you sit you don't move, when you don't sit you don't move, and then after you fall asleep. Yes or not? Huh? Yeah. But when you move you don't sleep. When you move you don't sleep. So the Yetzirah you want to get hold on you when you don't move. That's why when you move, when you study Torah, when you pray, so the Yetzirah cannot get move, cannot get hold on you. So Be'ezat Hashem, let's move with Torah. That's why we move. We light every day one candle, then two candles, we move. Again, three candles, four candles, five, six, seven, eight. Eight is Neshama. And then
once you are connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so you have all the Se'at HaYishmael from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so you can, because you connected yourself with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so it's Yutke, so you are holding on the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Be'ez Hashem, that should help you for all the year. So Be'ez Hashem, I wish you Bracha Ve'atzlacha, and I pray for you that Hashem give you health and happy Hanukkah. Thank you very much. God bless you. Bye-bye. Thank you. God bless you. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye. Bye. Voilà.